Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. We also want to let you know we're sponsored by ZipRecruiter. Right now, Three Martini Lunch listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. And Jim, let's start with our good martini. It's a little bit of a bounce off of yesterday's good martini that the Republicans forced the runoff in Georgia 6, despite the Democrats and out-of-district and out-of-state donors dumping millions into that district for the express purpose of not having a runoff. And now, since the Democrats were willing to pump money into that race and they were upset in Kansas a couple weeks ago that they didn't pump in more, now with all these special elections coming up because Trump nominated a lot of members of Congress to serve in his administration, Democrats in all these different races want the National Party to pump in a ton of resources. And so far, they're 0-2. But nonetheless, they still want it this time in Montana. This is the New York Times. Rob Quist surveyed his audience last week at an annual powwow of Montana's Native American tribes. A kaleidoscope of feathers, moccasins, and beads before turning his thoughts to a very different audience, far to the east, the National Democratic Party. They've been on the sidelines a little too long, and it's time for them to get in the game, said Mr. Quist, the Democratic nominee, in a special May election to fill Montana's at-large House seat. Montana, of course, the at-large congressman was Ryan Zinke, who's now the Secretary of the Interior. They do have a Democratic governor, Steve Bullock, who is also pushing the National Democratic Party to spend a lot of money in Montana. And Jim, just yesterday we were talking about how all these Democrats are supposedly different. They might wear a cowboy hat. They might wear cowboy boots. They might drive a truck. This one plays the banjo, Jim.
There you go. Not a traditional Democrat. He plays a banjo, right? Do you see Nancy Pelosi playing a banjo? I don't think so. Yeah. It's kind of interesting in this article, at the very end, it's clearly not just the Marcos Melitzes of the world and the, you know, the wild-eyed grassroots activists. The Montana Democratic chairwoman, Nancy Keenan, at the end is quoted as saying, "Get in the game, get in the game," she said in an interview at the state party office in Helena, "because you're not going to take credit for it after we've won it." Now, could Democrats win this seat? Sure. You know, stranger things have happened. I think in a world where Dave Brott beats Eric Cantor and lots of other upsets have happened, you can't rule it totally out. But let's face it, you know, Montana's a pretty darn red place. And the more you federalize the race, the more you nationalize the race, the better shot a Republican's going to have. Maybe Gina Forte is not the perfect candidate, but, you know, all things considered, it looks like he's got you'd figure most Republicans in a state like Montana begin with the wind at their back. I can't begrudge Democrats for wanting to do this, but, you know, you tried hard the runoff in Louisiana. This was a state with a Democratic governor. They tried that, and it didn't turn out. They tried Kansas, and there was a lot of talk, and they ran a lot better than usual, but they fell short. And in Georgia, they thought, oh, maybe we'll hit 50%, and they fell just short, and we'll see how the runoff goes. But once again, one Republican versus one Democrat in a Republican-leaning seat, the odds are pretty good for Republicans. It's a cycle for the Democrats that they really can't choose. Like, the grassroots won't let them choose to not compete in unfavorable territory. And, you know, maybe the Democrats have an unlimited supply of money. Maybe the donors are going to open up their wallets all year long. Maybe outrage over Trump means they have a nearly unlimited supply of energy and enthusiasm and financial resources and eagerness and people willing to help out. Or maybe they don't. And they'll suddenly say, hey, why did we spend all, you know, why did so much effort get put into places like Georgia and Kansas and Montana when deep down we really needed to start thinking about how do we win back seats in places like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Florida? And places that used to have a lot more Democrats than they do right now.
Jim, given who the chairman is and the deputy chairman of the Democratic Party and where the energy in the party seems to be right now, which is on the far left, that works for a guy like Ossoff, even though that's not necessarily a district that's conducive for him. But if you're the at-large Democratic candidate for the Democratic Party in Montana, do you really want that wing of the party driving you? Because I can't imagine that plays well at-large in Montana.
No, look, there's always the possibility as we look beyond Montana to the entire 2018 midterms. You know, maybe things won't go well for Trump. maybe the country will be very frustrated come November 2018. And maybe they'll say, you know, it's time to give the Democrats a chance. If that doesn't happen, Democrats probably are going to be in trouble, in part because they've chosen to either forget or they have rejected the lesson of 2006. And people forget this. We on the right, you know, we can't stand Rahm Emanuel because he's a maniac. And also apparently he's certainly not very good as mayor of reducing crime in Chicago. But he was at least smart in running a national, when he was running the DCCC back in 2006. One, he did not take career politicians. He said, I don't want to get people who have been voted in the state legislature so Republicans can run the usual, he voted to raise taxes 489 times type ads. He wanted people who had not had political records, who were accomplished from something outside of politics, so they had no record to attack. And the second big issue was he was perfectly fine with pro-gun Democrats, and he was perfectly fine with pro-life Democrats. Now, those people have pretty much been driven out of the party, like, you know, St. Patrick driving the snakes out of Ireland. I mean, they basically decided, no, you really can't be in that. And some people are very explicit about that. You and I had made fun of Howard Dean a little while back. Howard Dean, who used to boast about his A-plus record from the NRA. Again, if you want to win in places like this, you got to give you guys a little bit of ideological flexibility. You have to, you know, the Democratic majority in 2006 was built on the backs of guys like Heath Shuler. I'll give Washington Redskins fans a moment to stop and shudder and have dramatic flashbacks and then return. But I don't think winning back the House majority is going to be, you know, certainly won't be easy and might just be impossible if Democrats aren't willing to give their candidates a certain amount of ideological flexibility on these hot button issues, particularly in place in the redder parts of the country, or barring some sort of massive mistake on the part of Donald Trump and people just having an instinctive backlash or reaction to that.
Wow. Well, let's hope the Democrats don't learn their lesson or even repeat what worked for them.
That's why it's a good martini.
That's right. On to the bad martini now and back to Berkeley. They've done so much to further free speech this year, and they're doing it again. And again, the New York Times. The University of California, Berkeley on Wednesday canceled a scheduled speech by the conservative author Ann Coulter in the latest blow to the institution's legacy and reputation as a promoter and bastion of free speech. Pretty tough, actually, in the lead there from the New York Times. University administrators said in a statement that they could not let Ms. Coulter speak because of active security threats. In a letter to the Berkeley College Republicans, which was sponsoring the speech, two vice chancellors said the university had been unable to find a safe and suitable venue for your planned April 27th event featuring Ann Coulter. After the cancellation was announced on Wednesday, Coulter said in an email that she would definitely speak at Berkeley next week since two groups on campus invited her to do so. So, Jim, once again, the out-of-control people are rewarded by having the school decide that it's just too much work and potentially too dangerous to let different views be expressed.
You know, we'd like to have free speech, but it's hard. That's the message we've got right there. You know, that this is the rioters' veto. The other thing I'm going to observe, like I suppose you could say this is either a good martini or kind of a good aftertaste to this otherwise very bitter martini. Greg, I don't know about you. I've never been a huge Ann Coulter fan. I think she tends to say the exact wrong thing at the wrong time. Those of us, I get tired of being told about how I'm a liberal squish from somebody who totally embraced Chris Christie and totally embraced Mitt Romney, you know, who said in Trump we trust and then started berating him when he started moving on the immigration issue. I'm not sure she always thinks these things through. But here I have to defend her. I have to say, you know what? Ann Coulter's got every right to give that speech. You don't get to stop people from speaking by setting things on fire. This is the antithesis of the American tradition. Ann Coulter's got constitutional rights just like everybody else, as well as all the Berkeley students who want to hear what she has to say. And so, again, Berkeley has completely forsaken its traditions, turned its back on it. And one of the great ironies is people are being forbidden from speaking their minds and saying what they think by people who claim to be fighting fascism. You know, you could choke on the irony, but you'd probably choke on the smoke from the, you know, things being set on fire by people claiming that that's a form of free speech.
Jim, the more this goes on, it just confirms what we've probably already known for a long time, that the students are allowed to run roughshod and that some of the most spineless people on earth are college campus administrators. They will do whatever it takes to not have to make tough decisions or to reprimand people.
The board of trustees should hire some replacements, Greg.
They should. That's exactly right. We need new vice chancellors at Cal Berkeley and a whole bunch of other places. And if you want to have a good person fill that position, once you fire them for lack of a spinal column, use ZipRecruiter, because they will definitely streamline the process for you. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Because posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates.
If you want to find the perfect hire, then you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter.com. Now you can post your job to more than 200 job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface.
No juggling emails or calls to the office. You can quickly screen your candidates, rate them, you know, put them in that pecking order as the resumes roll in, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used not only by Fortune 100 companies, but also thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, 3 Martini Lunch listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. So, Jim, yesterday was a pretty busy day, full of news, and for some reason the news media is spending a lot of time on O'Reilly and how many Patriots showed up to the White House and blah, blah, blah. One of the bigger surprise stories of yesterday was the fact that the relatively young chairman of the House Oversight Committee is not going to run for re-election or any office in 2018. That's Jason Chaffetz of Utah, been in Congress for about 10 years now, and it's... on the one hand, a little bit surprising that he's going to leave, given the power that he has now as head of that committee. But the reaction to it is just insane. The conspiracy theory thinking is strong on the left, and the Washington Free Beacon picked up on it. An official spokesperson for the Democratic National Committee pushed a conspiracy theory that Congressman Jason Chaffetz decided not to run for re-election in 2018. Because he's being blackmailed by Russia. Adrian Watson is the acting deputy communications director at the DNC and a former spokesperson for David Brock's Correct the Record super PAC and Hillary Clinton's failed presidential campaign. After Chaffetz announced he would not seek re-election in 2018, Watson directed her Twitter followers to a tweet from Louise Mensch that said her quote-unquote sources told her there was compromising material on the Utah congressman. Looking at the mentions on Mensch's tweet, everyone completely buys it and starts listing other congressmen they're completely convinced are also bought and paid for by Russia. So, Jim, not a shred of evidence, but nonetheless, the DNC and liberals are more than happy to just push this out there.
These are the same folks who spent decades denouncing the baseless paranoia of the McCarthyist age, huh?
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about Louise Mensch. About a year or two ago, I spoke to her. And she seemed like a perfectly sane, perfectly nice, bright, charming woman. And then somewhere around after the election, look, you know, we've now seen, yeah, was there a Russian effort to cause trouble? Sure. Were they probably connected to WikiLeaks and the effort to hack into Podesta? Sure. Using that nefarious phishing maneuver and, you know, guessing that Podesta's password was password. You know, clearly you needed the KGB A team to crack that one. But, you know, so look, there's reason to be grumbling about the Russians. There's reason to think the Russians are up to no good and probably attempting to meddle or make mischief. But man, oh man, bit by bit, day by day, Mensch just went out there. And I think the moment where, like, I really kept waiting for someone to stage an intervention was when she said that Andrew Breitbart had been killed by Putin so that Bannon could take over. I was not the closest person in the world to Andrew Breitbart, but I was plugged into his circle. I had a chance to hang out with him on the national. That's the sort of thing that makes me just want to, like, okay, no, stop. You stop, sit down, sit in the corner, and you sit and think about how you reached this point. Because, no, Andrew Breitbart was not killed. He was not executed by the KGB. Bannon, very few people foresaw that Bannon was going to take over Breitbart. I've heard some stories that I probably shouldn't mention on this podcast, but let's just say that no, there was no grand coherent conspiracy to put a Trump sympathizer in charge of Breitbart years before Trump decided to run for president. It's And this is one of those things where you really just I just want to see somebody stage an intervention. And not only is Mensch getting not getting an intervention, not only is she not getting people who you know should know better and who should be able to tell her, look, you really seem to be going off the deep end on this. She's getting positive reinforcement. The New York Times let her run a very long op-ed basically laying out her grand vision of this sinister conspiracy and things like that. So it's very odd. You'll see people who will scoff and sneer and laugh at Alex Jones, who, don't get me wrong, totally has it coming, but who also will then buy into these kinds of theories. And it's I don't know about you, Greg. It feels like the country's full of Mulders and it needs a few more Scullies. Wanting to believe should not be the same as believing.
The sanity quotient in this country definitely needs an uptick. Jim, talk to you tomorrow. Actually, talk to you Monday. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Don't forget to visit our friends at ZipRecruiter. Right now, 3 Martini Lunch listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. And tune in Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.